Welcome to this Financial Advisor podcast, a weekly podcast where I speak to leading financial advisors. My guest today is Alka Brink, a wealth advisor at PSG Route 21. Welcome, Alka.
Thank you, Eleanor. Thank you for having me.
Alka is currently the youngest person in South Africa to have obtained the CFP qualification, which she did in 2016. How old were you when you qualified, Alka, and why did you choose this career?
I was 22 years old at the time. I've always loved numbers. I just wasn't 100% sure in which industry it would be. I grew up in a family where both my parents and my brother are doing this as well. So I think that helped a lot. I guess maybe it was just something in my blood. I studied investment management at the University of Stellenbosch, and I was fortunate enough to have a few incredible lecturers who themselves had many years of experience in the industry. So as soon as I started to understand what it was about, I was definitely hooked. I think this industry offers the perfect balance between numbers and giving the opportunity to help people every day, which is extremely rewarding.
And how does PSG Route 21 differ from the parent group PSG Wealth?
I think in terms of culture, we are very much the same as the larger PSG Consult parent company. They provide us with tools and the best possible support teams to provide the best advice we can to the client. I think if I had to elaborate on Route 21 a bit, like I mentioned above, my whole family works there, and this is definitely a culture we have implemented from day one. There's just a warmth when you walk into the office. Most of our team members have been with us from day one, and I think that's definitely the culture you would feel when you get there, an extremely loyal, family-orientated company.
Would you say that in general, companies are moving away from offering employee benefits like provident funds and medical aid contributions, or is the opposite true?
I would say the opposite. I think our experience with many of the larger employers in South Africa is that they are more and more focused on their social responsibility towards employees, and some of the benefits are actually becoming more comprehensive. I believe the challenges and demands we're also facing with default regulation that has been implemented provides us with the opportunity to add value to the advice we provide, not only to the companies, but to the individuals as well. And I think employers are becoming more aware of this. The focus is definitely on educating and supporting employees from an early stage, I would say.
That's good to know, because I do find that often people have left their retirement saving for too late because they don't have this option at work.
Yes, so it definitely makes a significant difference. And I think employees are very fortunate if they do have the structure at work and having the opportunity from early on.
And in your dealings with your clients, what are you finding is worrying them? What's keeping them up at night?
I think, yeah, if you look at the news this week, I think it's been a challenging few years. And I think everyone's patience just running out for things to turn around. And I think people are losing some hope. I think the last week or two has definitely woken up some sleeping dogs. And I think people are experiencing a lot of noise at this stage and feeling a bit overwhelmed with a lot of negative news. I think from the weakening rand to volatile markets and thought of a possible downgrade in South Africa, I would also say job uncertainty at this stage. I have dealt with many retrenchments in the last year, and I think this is definitely a point of concern at this stage.
Is there any way for clients or people in general to protect themselves against retrenchments?
I would say there's two different ways you can address this. I think one point of view is ensuring that you are financially planning for this should something like this ever cross your path. Should it either be something like retrenchment protection, or just ensuring you have an emergency fund built up for a few months to ensure that you will be okay should this ever happen to you. And I also believe, together with that, it's a personal responsibility to ensure that you upskill yourself and make sure you're one of the best possible candidates in whatever industry you are to ensure you at least minimize the risk of this ever happening to you.
As this is Women's Month, what would you say are some of the biggest financial mistakes women tend to make, and how should we avoid them?
I feel many women take a step back and rely on their partners to handle the financial planning in their homes. In most of the cases I work with, women are not even sure what provision their partner has in place, and they play no role in the family's financial planning or their own planning. It really does become a big problem when we deal with challenges like divorce, illness, or a partner passing away. So I believe women do need to take care of themselves as well, their own planning. I believe financial independence is extremely important, but also just speaking about these things in any household. not only do women live longer than men and they will end up managing all of the finances, but it has also been researched that women are, in fact, better investors than men, making more calculated decisions in the long term. So I think it's invaluable for a family to just discuss these financial decisions together.
And I would imagine pre-marriage financial counselling is very important in this regard.
Yes, definitely. And I think just being on the same page and ensuring everyone knows what provision is in place. And it's not always possible for one partner to make sufficient provision for both of them when it comes to retirement. So I think just, ensuring you speak about these things.
Is there a gender gap, so to speak, in terms of financial planning and retirement savings?
Yes, I would say so. I'm not always a fan of referring to the gender gap. I think it's spoken about worldwide at this stage. But I do believe in most industries, unfortunately, women are still earning less than men. Their time in the workforce is also shorter due to breaks in employment, should it be maternity leave or spending more time raising a family. And then, like I mentioned earlier on, women live longer than men. So now we need to take all of these components into account and still make sufficient provision for retirement. So I think that is definitely a challenge we deal with. And then I think women are also more risk averse, which sometimes it causes them to take a little bit longer to implement financial products to save for the future.
So what advice would you have for them in terms of saving enough for retirement if we are so risk averse? How do we tackle that?
I think what's important, and I think myself dealing with a lot of women, I think women need to understand that the financial calculation is not always going to look the same for a woman's life as opposed to a man's life. And just embracing that, I think we need to make sure we do our own financial planning and put our own planning in place for the future as well, taking all of these components into account. So I would just advise making it a focus point to at least talk to an advisor early on in your career and starting to plan for all of these things, planning for either maternity leave and planning for the breaks in employment and whatever income you do earn, to take that into account and plan for that as well. I think it's just a focus point that should change a bit on in the lives of women to ensure that they are really looking at taking care of themselves as well, if I can call it that.
It's not something that we tend to do, especially as parents. We tend to put everyone else first before ourselves.
Exactly. So I think it's just one of the best qualities a woman has, but they do tend to put themselves last.
How do you try to convince your younger clients that it's necessary to start saving as much as possible, as soon as possible, for something so far ahead in the future?
This is definitely a very challenging mindset for younger people. I think affordability remains a challenge as well for younger people as they're just starting out their careers and building their families. I try to explain the benefit of compound interest and how this will take a lot of pressure off in the long run. With younger people, I think the shorter-term planning is very important as well, from family planning to a house and a car. By planning for these things early on, we can also avoid a lot of debt, which can improve the bigger picture with time. Also understanding, I think, the long-term benefits of your tax benefits in your portfolio and just the benefit of diversifying your portfolio from day one. Just having time on your side then makes financial planning very easy. And it takes a lot of pressure off later in life. So little of the population actually benefit from this. But if you just start diversifying early on, you're good to go. One of my favorite quotes, I have quoted before in one of my articles, but it's by Charlie Munger, and it says, "The big money is not in the buying or the selling, but just in the waiting."
And patience is definitely not a virtue for most of us. So,
myself included.
You recently wrote an article for MoneyWeb on millennials and whether or not they're making the same mistakes in terms of finances as generations before them. What are some of the trends in our generation in terms of how we do or don't save and invest for our futures?
I would say the mindset of instant gratification. I feel this is just a global state of mind at this stage and not necessarily only millennials. I think everyone is just surviving day to day and not really thinking about the future and therefore not really saving or planning, thinking we will deal with this later in life. I think many younger people also have the mindset that they are indestructible, which in principle I really like, but they do need to understand that illness and disability happen to younger people as well, and we do need to plan for these things.
I have also heard that millennials tend to be risk-averse in terms of our investments because we've watched generations before us make mistakes. For example, those around the global financial crisis. Have you found this at all?
I think it's a combination maybe of being risk-averse, and I think we're living in a century or a generation where we're being bombarded with a lot of information. I think it does make it challenging with new asset classes, if you can call it that, coming into play, things like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and things like that. I think younger people are unsure in terms of what they should be doing. And I think it doesn't really help that we're seeing a lot of what has happened in 2008 again at this stage. So I think people are definitely more risk averse, and I think they are exploring more options in terms of what they should be doing, and approaching their finances definitely in a much different way.
Lastly, what would you say is the best and the worst financial advice you ever received?
I would say the best is to start as soon as possible. I started with my first income from my house committee salary when I was still studying. And I think this has definitely made a big mindset difference over the last few years. And then as soon as you have the opportunity to start making use of your annual tax benefits with retirement products to use it, as it does make a significant difference. I would say the worst is to rely on anyone else to ensure you have provision for your future, should it be a partner or family members. Life does not always work out this way, and I think it's our own responsibility to ensure you are saving for your own retirement and just doing your everyday planning. I think there are many excellent advisors and specialists out there available to assist people with their planning, and we need to stop putting our heads in the sand and hoping for a miracle at retirement.
Just from your example, it really does show the value of getting proper financial education from a young age. I can't believe you started investing so early.
I think it does make a difference growing up in a family who does this, but I do believe the information is available to anyone at this stage. I think with platforms like MoneyWeb and things like that, the information is available to anyone out there, and I think people should just start making this a focus point, as nothing else is really possible in this world if you're not planning your wealth.
That was Alka Brunk, a wealth advisor at PSG Route 21.